Hallelujah. Open in your Bibles, if you would please, to Numbers. Well, go to Exodus chapter 3 and Numbers 21. Exodus chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 21. We'll start off there, probably in Exodus chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. God is the God of discipline and faithfulness. He's not a God of sloppiness and faithlessness. Amen. Some people need to get a revelation. Amen. That God is a God of discipline and faithfulness. He's not a God of sloppiness and faithlessness. I'll say it again. Some people need to get a clue. Some people need to get a revelation that God is a God of discipline and He's a God of faithfulness. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, thank you, verse 1, that as children of God, we are to be imitators thereof. Children are to imitate their parents. Amen? Children are to imitate their daddy and their mommy. Amen? And God is the God of faithfulness. Therefore, we are to imitate His faithfulness. God's a God of discipline. Therefore, we are to discipline ourselves. Amen? And you're doing it. This is a commendation, not a reproof or a rebuke. Amen? I commend you for the way you just keep on coming. No matter what others do or do not do, will or will not do, you just keep on showing. Amen? In many cases, you're worse than me in that respect. Amen? Or you're as bad as me. Should say as good as me and Barbara. Amen? We're always here. Amen? And you folks, you're always here and you're setting yourself up. This is set up. You're being set up for a blessing. Amen? You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You can say you love Jesus, but if you don't keep his word, Jesus said, you don't love me. Love is an action, is an action verb. Amen? Love isn't something you talk about. Love is something you do. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my word. And you can say you love Jesus all you want. If you don't keep his word, Jesus said, and not me, you don't love me. John 14:21. Put that in your notes. If you would please. Say, I love Jesus. And I'm out here tonight proving it. So I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
And I'm out here tonight to prove it.
And I'm out here tonight.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Tonight we're going to talk about God's glory. We're not going to be talking about the subject of faith, such as we have been for the past months on Wednesday night. We're going to be talking about God's glory and mass miracles. God's glory in mass miracles. You picked a good night to come out. Amen. Hallelujah. Every Wednesday night's a good night to come out as far as I'm concerned. Amen? But this is a good one. Amen? You know that the Word of God is full of account of masses, whole crowds of people, throngs of people coming to Jesus and Jesus healing them, casting unclean spirits out of them, meeting their needs supernaturally. The Bible is filled with examples of mass miracles, not just in the ministry of Jesus, but in the... Well, let's go right here in Exodus chapter 3. We'll just jump right into it. I want to show you from the ministry of Moses a major mass miracle that you're acquainted with. Here in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Moses is minding his own business in the backside of the wilderness. Amen? Bible calls it Midian. I call it Cape Cod. The backside of the wilderness. Amen. God knew where Moses was. God knows where we are. Amen. We're being trained. Moses was being trained. We're being tested and proven, just like Moses was being tested and proven. He's on the backside of the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. His father-in-law's name was Jethro. Amen. And all of a sudden, here comes Holy God speaking to Moses out of a burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 9, God said to Moses, now therefore behold, or look and see, the cry of the children of Israel hath come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. He said, I hear that cry, and I see personally their suffering. Come now, therefore, and I'll send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people. Plural. 6.5 million of them. Somebody said one time there's only about 3 million Israelites were delivered from Egypt. I went and did the study and did the math, and my equation takes me to 6.5 million people, not counting their cattle. Not counting their cattle. And each one of them had more than one head of livestock to keep themselves alive. We're looking at 6.5 million people and probably 12 to 15 million heads of cattle. Here's a mass miracle in the working right here. That you may bring forth my people, plural, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. After 400 years of suffering, Israel cried out to God, and God sent Moses to deliver them in mass. Now, Moses wasn't their deliverer. Jehovah was their deliverer. Moses was the spokesperson. Moses went to the people and told them, God told me I'm your deliverer. And the people were to believe Moses, and what Moses told the people and what the people believed, God confirmed and supernaturally led them out of Egypt, 6.5 million of them, with all of their cattle. And he also put it on the heart of the Egyptians to give them all their gold and all their silver and all their jewelry on the way out. That's a mass miracle. That's how big our God is. Not only did he put it on the hearts of the Egyptians to give them all the gold, give them all the silver, give them all their ATM cards, and tell them in the passcodes, tell them, go ahead, we want you to have it. Just get out. He healed everyone who was sick amongst them. Psalm 105, I'll read it to you. You put it in your notes in verse 37. It says, he brought Israel forth from Egypt with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person amongst the tribes. Not one sick, not one infirm, not one feeble, not one weak person. God supernaturally quickened them, strengthened them, and healed them en masse to get them out of Egypt. Amen? I'm preaching to you today, tonight, just like Moses preached to Israel. Amen? God wants to deliver you. Whether there be 10 of you or 10 million of you, wherever you might be hearing my voice, it is God's will to deliver you. It is God's will to prosper you. It is God's will to heal you. It is God's will to give you the miracles you're believing for and crying out for your family. God not only hears you, God sees you. He knows where you're at. And he has the power, the ability, and the authority to deliver you in your twinkling little mess. It's nothing. You can't come up with something. No matter how big it might seem to you or to me, we can't come up with anything that's too big for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to deliver us from. Look what he did with Israel. 6.5 million people and their cattle. On the way out, heal them all, prosper them. Amen? You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant than these people walked under with God. Amen? A better covenant. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant than that which Israel had, a covenant which is established on better and far more excellent promises. That's what Paul told the Hebrews. Amen? It's to the shame of the church to fall behind Israel and receiving the promises of God. I said it's to the shame of the church to fall behind Israel in receiving the promises and the provision and the protection of God the way that they did. We have a better covenant. Established on better promises. Go to Numbers chapter 21, if you would, please. I don't know what you've been crying out for God's help. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm speaking God's solution to you just like Moses spoke to Israel. Amen? I'm not your healer. I'm not your deliverer. Jesus is. But if you believe his words as I speak them to you, he will perform a miracle wherever you need it. In your body, in your finances, in your family, on your job, in this church, in this community, in this country. We need the miraculous and we need it now. And God's willing to do it. God's willing to do it. We got to believe him. Amen. We've been talking about the glory for months on Sunday mornings. Amen. we see what the glory is. The glory is the Holy Spirit in manifestation. The glory is the goodness of God. He's a good God and He desires to pour His goodness out upon us as individuals, as families, corporately, as local churches. He wants to pour His blessing out upon this country, upon the whole earth. But somebody's got to believe Him. And Paul said, how are you going to believe what you don't hear? And how are you going to hear unless somebody preaches it? And how is somebody going to preach unless they're sent by the Holy Ghost to do it? Well, I've been sent by the Holy Ghost to preach it to you so you can hear it, you can believe it, you can act on it, and God can confirm it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that good preaching, Helen?
It is. That's really good.
It's God's Word.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Where are you? God still performs mass miracles today. Isn't the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know that was Jesus delivering those people through Moses? And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still in the mass miracle business. He can handle a whole bunch of us and more. Amen? Hallelujah. Where are you? Hallelujah. God will find a way to touch thousands and millions at one time. Amen. Some people probably sitting here thinking, I believe He can do that, but He wouldn't do that for me. You better snap out of it. If you think God can do that for others, but He wouldn't do it for me. You're the very one He'd do it for.
Amen.
Paul said, I'm the least of all saints. I'm the chiefest of sinners. And look at how God used Paul. Amen. Hallelujah. How about me? What a loser I was. Amen? Dope head, hippie, degenerate, drunken, scared. Hallelujah. Loser! I hated TV evangelists. I hated the idea of preaching the gospel on television. That's not what TV's for! And now I've come to discover that's all it's for. That's all it's intended for. God invented that. That came right out of the mind of Christ for the preaching of the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I not only don't hate TV evangelists, I am one. Over here, Numbers chapter 21. Amen? What are we talking about? We're talking about God's glory, God's goodness, and mass miracles. And we saw Moses led 6.5 million people and all their cattle and all the silver and gold in Egypt and healed their bodies. And supernaturally took them into the promised land. What a big God we serve. Amen? And He's our Father. Those weren't even His children. They were His servants. We are His sons and daughters. In the Old Testament, God said in Exodus 25:8, He said, I'll dwell amongst you. In the New Testament, He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll dwell within you. You see the difference? He told those folks, I'll dwell amongst you. Amen? But He tells us in the New Testament, I'll dwell within you. Oh, we got a better covenant than Israel had. It's to the shame of the church that we're falling behind Israel when it comes behind signs, wonders, and miracles. Because we've got a better covenant. Hallelujah. Look right here. Mass miracles. Look at the mass miracle of the brazen serpent real quick over here. The children of Israel complained and spoke against God and God's leadership. We don't know nothing about that around here, do we? Amen? Hallelujah. Complaining about God's leadership. Don't like them. They're too strict. They wanted to stone them. Get new leadership. Start over themselves. Well, they knocked their hedge of protection down, is what they did. You can't criticize God's leadership. You can't come against the Spirit of God. You can't come against God's plan and purpose and design for something and not pay for it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, you know, the Bible says if you dig a hole for somebody else, you're going in it. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes 10:8. That's why we pray for mercy on these people who have done the things that they've done to us on Cape Cod. Because the pit they dug for all of us, they're going into it. Bible also says in Ecclesiastes 10:8, not only when you dig a pit for someone else, are you digging a pit for yourself to fall into, but you're knocking your own hedge of protection down and you'll be bitten by a serpent. Who is the serpent? Satan. Amen? You do something like that, you knock your hedge of protection down, the Bible says you'll be smitten by a serpent. Well, that came true in Israel's case, didn't it? They spoke against, murmured against God's leadership, and they got bitten with what the Bible calls fiery serpents all over their bodies. They weren't actually serpents of fire, but when they bit the people, it burned and it stung like fire. So the people called them fiery serpents. And they went immediately and they repented to Moses and they said, please pray for us, get these serpents off of us. They repented. Always when people repent, I don't know how God can be so good, but always when you repent, he's not a punitive God. You don't have to pay any penalty at all. You just get forgiven. That was true in the Old Testament. It's even more true in the New Testament. I was looking at it this week, how many times Israel repented in the Old Testament. Every time they repented, God said, now I'll bless you, and blessed them. Amen? Hallelujah. No penance! No penance! Just blessing for repentance. Doesn't matter how bad you may have blown it, amen? All you need to do is repent like Israel repented, and you'll be forgiven and blessed even more than Israel was forgiven and blessed, because we have a better covenant established upon better promises. If that covenant was so good, why'd God throw it away? If it's so good, let's go back under it. As glorious and wonderful and marvelous as it was, ours is better. And that's why I keep saying it's a shame that we have fallen behind Israel when it comes to experiencing the goodness and the glory and the power and the provision and the protection of God. We don't believe like they did when they'd repent and get forgiveness. Oh, hallelujah. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. So they cried out to Moses. Look right here, Numbers 21, they're getting bitten by serpents. The serpents, they knock their hedge of protection down. They're getting bitten all over the place. Amen? Am I okay? Numbers 21, let's pick it up, verse 7. Hallelujah. These serpents are killing these people. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, what? We sinned. Don't you wish some people on Cape Cod would have this much sense? To come and say, we've sinned. For we've spoken against the Lord and against thee, Moses. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, plural, 6.5 million of them. Amen? And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone, please say everyone, see 6.5 million people being bitten, it'll come to pass, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live, just by looking at it. Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You see what happened there? You know what that pole is? That serpent was on? It's a type of the cross. It was pointing towards Calvary's cross. And the fact that anybody who looked at Jesus on the cross and believed in his substitutionary sacrifice, they would live like Israel lived for looking at the serpent on the pole. You know why there was a serpent on the pole? The pole symbolized the cross. The serpent symbolizes sin, Satan. And the Bible says he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That serpent on the pole symbolized Jesus becoming a sin sacrifice in our place at the cross. 6.5 million people bitten by fiery serpents. All they had to do is look at it and get healed. If they can look at a symbol of Jesus, how much more in the new covenant can we look at the person of Jesus and receive even more than they did? It's ignorance gone the seed to believe for a second that God wants somebody to be broke or sick, when broke and sick is a penalty for sin, and the Bible says he made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf. He bore our sin on the cross. He bore the penalty for our sin. God wants us to prosper as individuals, as families, as a congregation, as a church, as a body in the earth. It is God's will for us to prosper more than Israel prospered. To do more for us than he did for them. Because we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Amen? Be foolish to think you could get healed supernaturally looking at a symbol of Jesus and not get healed looking at the real thing. Looking at the real deal. Looking at the real McCoy going right to him. That's a mass miracle. 6.5 million people. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. These people, they didn't have to wait in line either. 6 million of them. Amen. Do you realize how many people that is as you go into Matthew chapter 12? Do you realize there were so many people in Israel wandering in the wilderness that some lived as far as 20 miles away from others? Do you realize 6.5 million people traveling through the wilderness for 40 years? Most of them never even met one another, didn't even know each other. People dying, babies being born. 20 miles away from you. When you move, they move, but you never get to meet them. You lived under the same cloud, moved under the same cloud by day and fire by night. So many people, so many, many people. You didn't even get to meet them all over the course of your lifetime. Some of them you never, most of them you never even saw. They live so far away from you. Amen? Moses held that pole up. Some people had to come and walk from 20 miles away to see that pole. And as soon as they came into sight over the horizon, bingo, you received your healing. That's a good God. Amen? Just by glancing at it, the Word says. By looking at it, the Word is glanced. Just to see it from a distance. Well, you know Jesus up close and personal. How much more should you be healed? And should you be prospering and be blessed? Amen? Mass miracles are common in Scripture. God's about to perform mass miracles in our midst. Amen? Do you believe it? I speak a miracle into your life, whatever you might need. I speak it into your life now, in Jesus' name, into your family's lives. Amen? Your families need to be saved. It's time for it to be happening.
Amen.
That's what I'm speaking into your life. Salvation of your loved ones. Whatever you need. I don't know what you need. A sewing machine, a car, a miracle healing. I don't know. But you know, and God wants to do it. He just needs you to hook up and get an agreement with Him. Say, here I am, Lord. Say that right now with me. Say, here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Bless me.
Bless me.
And bless me big, sir.
And bless me big, sir.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I'll tell everyone who did it. Well, Bob will tell everyone who did it. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the master of mass miracles. Let's look at real quick at some. We can't look at all the mass miracles in the Old Testament. We don't just have time. We don't have time. Amen. Let's look real quick at some mass miracles in the ministry of Jesus. And then we're going to pray here tonight. We need mass miracles. It's time. We've been studying miracles. You realize for 8 months together here, collectively, corporately as a body, preaching and teaching on miracles in the glory for almost 9 months now on Sundays, and preaching on faith, the basics of faith, what it is, how to get into it, and how to make it work for 8 months. It's time for some confirmation. Thank you for that one amen. Two amens. How many amens we get in here tonight? Do I have any friends in here tonight? Amen. It's time for God to start confirming His Word and performing miracles. Amen. We need it in this community. We need them in this church, and they're coming. Hallelujah. We need them on Cape Cod. We need them in America. Oh, America's still about to see its finest hour, even though we've elected our first non-Christian Marxist president. Hallelujah. Spiritually speaking, we're about to see our finest hour. Amen? Here, Matthew chapter 8, real quick. Talk about miracles in the ministry of Jesus. Amen? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, go back to Matthew 8. You're there in 12. It's right next door. Amen? We've got to keep our mouths in line with this. Amen? We've been talking about this for months on Wednesday nights. Keeping our mouths in line and not speaking against the will of God. Amen? I have a brother who has Down syndrome. He's 20 years and 20 days younger than I am. And for years, Barbara will bear witness, my mother used to say over my brother for years, because he had a hearing problem in his ears, hearing problem. Oh, he's just as deaf as a haddock. Do you hear that? He's as deaf as a haddock, she'd tell everybody about my brother. And I'd say, Ma, don't say that. Barbara and I try to tell her, don't say that, you're making it worse. Ah, he's deaf as a haddock. She thought it was cute, because he was partially deaf in both ears. Down syndrome, mentally retarded young man. And I tried to, she, you know, would pray with her for his healing. She'd always want prayer. He'd have to go have surgery. She'd want prayer. She'd want us to be there. But she just keeps, he's as deaf as a haddock. Mother, you got to stop saying that. You're speaking against your prayers. You're making it worse. Well, to make a long story short, she wouldn't listen. She just had a better way. He ended up having his ears gutted. His ears became so infected, my mother confessing over him, deaf as a haddock, deaf as a haddock. She thought that was cute. You know, haddocks don't hear, I guess. I don't know. Amen? Well, he had to have both ears gutted. The guts taken right out. Now he's deaf as a haddock. My mother prophesied that over him all his life, to where he had to have his inner ears removed. We need to keep our mouths in line with the promise and the will and the provision and the purpose and the plan and the pursuits of God here on Cape Cod. And you're getting the message, and we're all getting better, all growing and doing better. Nobody's getting rebuked here, amen? But I'm telling you, it's miracle time. It's miracle time. But if we keep speaking against it, we're going to slow it down. We want to speak in line with it and speed it up. Amen? Whether it's a personal miracle, a family miracle, a community miracles, statewide miracles, national outpouring of the glory of God, let's start talking it, praying it, and thanking God for it. It is the will of God to perform mass miracles and to perform them now. Say now. That's why Paul said, behold, today is the day of deliverance. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this message. You there, Matthew 8? Because I know what's coming. I got it in my spirit. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 8:16, when the evening time was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons or devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. How many? He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He drove out the spirits just by preaching the word. He didn't even tell them to come out. He just preached the word and they came out. It's time for this to be occurring in America.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
We're backslidden. We need to come back to the Lord. And God's going to use our faith to get the job done. We've got to believe Him to do it. Amen? He can't do anything in the earth unless human beings give Him access. That's His Bible truth. He can do nothing in this earth unless human beings give Him access. God doesn't have authority in this earth. Yes, He providentially governs the nations of the world. But yes, He also gave authority to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil. A man gave it to the devil. Adam, a man gave it away. Only a man could take it back. So God became a man, took Adam's authority back away from the devil. And in departing this earth, He said, behold, all power is given unto me. Now go you! You go! You go! He granted or delegated power of attorney to us, Jesus did, in this earth before going back to heaven. And now God won't do anything in this earth unless a man asks Him to. You know, when God needs to get some things done in this earth, He has people that He goes to and He says to them, you ask me to do this. And the person say, okay, Father, I ask you to do it. And the Father says, thank you. And He goes and He does it. You can do that. That's why He said in Isaiah 45:11, concerning the work of my hands or the power of my hands, command ye me, tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it for you. But don't come up behind those prayers when you ask me to do something for you and start speaking against them because you close the thing up and you bind the thing up, you cancel your prayer. That's why I keep on saying to you, you can't pray one way and talk another. Hallelujah. We want to see mass miracles? Start praising Him for mass miracles. Amen? You want to be deaf as a haddock? Keep saying you're deaf as a haddock. You get the drift. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Say hearing!
Hearing.
Be healed!
Be healed.
Ears be healed!
Ears be healed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You know they say the first thing to go is your hearing. Is that what they say? They say the first thing to go is your hearing. I ain't hooking up with that, baby. That's going to be the last thing to go for me. Amen? Hallelujah. The devil has tricked us and trapped us with common negative sayings. And we're in such a habit of saying it, and we're perpetuating the problem. Put your fingers in your ear tonight if you have a hearing need. Put your fingers in your ears in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say, ears.
Come open.
Hear.
Be healed.
Deafness.
Go.
Demons, go.
Harassment, go.
Ears, come open.
In Jesus' name.
They keep talking like that. So I hear clear as a bell. Clear as a bell on a cold winter day. Amen? I'm not going along with this garbage. The first thing that goes is your hearing. Amen? You get saved. The first thing that should go is your unbelief. Go to Matthew chapter 12, if you would, please. Amen? We'll talk about mass miracles. Amen? God's got the power. He's got the will to perform mass miracles still today. That's what we're believing. Amen? We're going to be seeing some mass miracles here on Cape Cod. Amen? That's what we're here for. The devil will try to tell us otherwise. Amen? Are you there in Matthew chapter 12? Verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held the council against Jesus, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. And great, please say great. It actually says huge multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. Mass miracle. Jesus did this all the time. Did you write that down in your notes? Look right here in Matthew chapter 14. Can't spend too much more time with these. I'm going to get you over to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something. Amen. Stirring you up for mass miracles. Amen. Mass miracles. Amen. God doesn't want to do just a few twinkling little miracles here and there, one here, one there. God wants to do mass miracles. God wants to perform the supernatural on behalf of his family worldwide. He's motivated to do it. He's got the power to do it. We're not trying to talk a lazy God into doing something he doesn't want to do. I'm talking about putting our faith on something he reveals in the Word he wants to do. He's promised he would do it. He said, ask of me for the rain in the time of the latter rain and I'll give it to you in abundance. But you got to ask, you got to believe. And you can't pray one way and talk another. Amen? Amen. Say it with me. Never again. Will I pray one way and talk another? Hallelujah. You there in Matthew chapter 14? Real quick, Matthew 14, we talk about mass miracles. Verse 14 of chapter 14, Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude. He was moved with a great multitude. You see that? He was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. How many? As many as were sick. A great multitude, and he healed the sick. Look what's coming in verse 15. And then when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. That's the King of James word for chow. Amen. Jesus said unto them, they don't need to depart. You give them something to eat. And they said unto him, all we have here is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, bring them to me. See, these guys, he told them they could have done this. What he's about to do, he's telling them, you can do this. John 14:12, he said, the works that I do, you will do too. Only greater works you will do because I go to the Father. He's telling these people, you could be doing this. Go ahead, bring me the fish and the loaves. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. See, they participated in the miracle with him there. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. If half of them were married, there's 7,500 people. If half of them had children, there's 10,000 people. Mass miracle. Jesus said to his disciples, you can do this, you know. But they didn't believe at that point. Amen? Hallelujah. Mass miracles. Jesus wants to perform, go to Luke chapter 6, mass miracles on our behalf. Amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. No one has the right to say that God doesn't do these kind of miracles any longer. Amen? God does do miracles like this. Still today, we're about to see them. Amen? Now, if you don't believe it, they're going to go right past you. You're going to miss it. But if you do believe, not only are you going to see it, you're going to experience it. Amen? You couldn't be alive at a better time. You couldn't have picked a better time to be alive as a Christian in this earth. You couldn't have picked a worse time to be born as an unbeliever in this earth. But you couldn't have picked a better time to be born and to be alive at this time. Amen? God's about to pour out His Spirit in this country. I'm telling you, hang on. I'm not saying believe me. I'm telling you, believe the Scripture. Believe Hosea. Believe Joel. Believe Zechariah. Believe James, the half-brother of Jesus. God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and it's a coming. And you're going to see it. Make up your mind you're going to see it. Make up your mind you're going to be here for it. Amen? But I'm in my 80s, Pastor. The blessings of Abraham are yours. Abraham lived to be 175. 175. Can you do at least half of that? How much is half of 175? I don't know. Close to 90. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You know, Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 11 all say that the Word of God will add years to your life. God has not predetermined when you're going to die. He knows when you're going to die, but He hasn't predetermined it. He hasn't set a time for you to die. Because if He has, He wouldn't have told you you could extend it in Proverbs 3, 9, 10, and 11. He said, keep the word before your eyes and going in your ears, and you can add, you can multiply your years. Amen? So don't go believing that lie that God's got a set time for you to die and there's nothing you can do about it. That's not true. The Bible says you can extend your life with His word. He knows when you're going to go, but He doesn't predetermine it. You do. I'm hanging out in the earth for a while here. Amen? I'm going to be a part of this move of God. Amen? Say, Father, put me right in the middle of what you're about to do in this earth. Don't let me miss it. Don't let me miss a beat. In Jesus' strong name. What does it feel like to be part of the biggest church on Cape Cod? Doesn't it feel wonderful? Hallelujah. To know you're part of the biggest church on Cape Cod. That you're right in the middle of God's glorious outpouring. Some stranger come in here and think we're a bunch of nuts. People who don't understand what faith is and how it works. Amen. So where are we? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, miracles in the ministry of Jesus. We'll just do this one real quick. He came down in verse 17 with them. He's been up on the mountain all night praying. Amen. No less than 12 times in the gospel, Jesus came down off the mountain from praying all night long, and signs and wonders and miracles followed him. Amen. Luke 6:17, he came down with his disciples off the mountain, stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Look at a great multitude from Judea, Jerusalem, from Tyre and Sidon came to these huge, huge amounts of people for Jesus' day. Came to hear and be healed. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. You see that? Mass miracle in the ministry of Jesus. We could spend the night going through mass miracles in the Old, in the New Testament. We don't have time to do it. That's enough to wet your whistle, isn't it? Listen, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I had asked you to go there earlier. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Everyone who believed in mass miracles and said yes to Jesus received miracles. Amen? Jesus is able. He's willing to perform mass miracles today wherever people have faith. Well, we've got to have faith for these things. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that He exists, but that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him by faith. Amen? I want to show you something right here about the New Testament in 2 Corinthians, is that where I've asked you to go? Chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Go to, let me just see here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 3. Hallelujah. Don't ask me why I said that. Hallelujah. You there in 2 Corinthians? Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3? I'm all stirred up, man. Hallelujah. I need God's help up here. There's just so many ways we could go with this. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited. Hallelujah. I'm glad God didn't let me leave. Amen? I'm glad He nailed my feet to the floor and made it impossible for us to leave. Amen? Because we'd be missing mass miracles. They're coming. A roll, a wave, a move of God's Spirit into this community, onto this Cape, into this state, into this country. Hallelujah. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God. It's upon us now. It's upon us now. Amen? Better than anything they saw in the Old Testament. Zechariah promised it. Joel promised it. Hosea promised it. Prophesied it. Hallelujah. Peter prophesied it. James prophesied it. We're living in it. Hallelujah. It's going to be more glorious in power and in provision. Look right here. Let's just go. Holy Spirit, you help me here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Pick it up in verse 7. Hallelujah. You just believe God that I'll calm down. Listen. This is talking about the Old Testament. In verse 7, it calls the Ten Commandments the ministration of death in verse 7. Just so you know what we're talking about, what Paul's talking about. Paul said in verse 7, but if the ministration of death, are you there? Written and engraven in stones, that's the Old Testament law, was glorious. It was glorious. He referred to it as God's glory. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which was glory to be done away with. You know what he's talking about, don't you? When Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments on the mountain, he came back down, the glory was all over him, was radiating from his face so much, they threw a sack over his head so they could talk to him. They couldn't bear it. They had to veil his face. This is the Old Testament. Just go in and get those Ten Commandments. The glory was so strong on him, they had to cover his head. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit, let's talk about the New Testament dispensation, be rather more glorious, is what it's actually saying. If the Old Testament glory was that fantastic, how much more so the ministration of the Spirit be glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, that's the Old Testament, much more does the ministration of righteousness, that's the New Testament, exceed in glory. Do you see that? God wants to pour His glory out in the New Testament more than He did in the Old Testament. And He did some heavy pouring out back there. We just read the brazen serpent, the deliverance of Israel, just those two alone. That was a manifestation of God's glory. Those mass miracles in the ministry of Jesus. Glory! Do you know those miracles of Jesus in the Gospels, they aren't in the New Testament? Do you know the Gospels aren't in the New Testament? And it's probably kind of late to be getting into that tonight, and I won't go too far into it. But the Gospels are part of the Old Testament. Those miracles that happened in the ministry of Jesus happened in the Old Testament. Jesus came as a prophet under the Old Covenant, not the New Covenant. Didn't Paul tell the Hebrews that a testament doesn't go into effect until the testator is dead? So your will doesn't go into effect until you're dead. Was Jesus alive in the Gospels? Then the New Testament and the new will hadn't begun yet. He wasn't dead. The New Testament begins in the book of Acts. Jesus was dead and raised from the dead, of course. Amen? But the Gospels are in the Old Testament. The publishers, the printers put them in the New Testament. But the last will and testament doesn't begin until the book of Acts. Those miracles happened under the Old Covenant. Paul said, a testator, his will, does not go into effect until the testator is dead. Was Jesus dead in the Gospels? No, he wasn't. So then the New Testament hadn't begun yet. He was completing the Old Testament as a prophet. The New Testament began in the book of Acts. My point is this. God promises that the ministration of His Spirit in this glorious testament will be greater than even in the ministry of Jesus. Because he said the new will be greater than the old, and Jesus' ministry was the old covenant. Now, it was overlapping testaments, old and new, but I know that's a revelation to some people. Don't let it stymie you or stumble you. Amen? The point that I'm trying to make is this, as I've already made. I'll make it again. Redundancy. Amen? Repetition. The key to teaching, the key to learning. Those miracles in his ministry happened under the old covenant, and Paul said the manifestation of God's Spirit in the New Testament in these last days is going to be even greater than the ministry of Jesus, never mind Moses in Israel. Amen? Well, hallelujah. I got something out of that. I don't know about you. Verse 10, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. I'll tell you quite simply what he's saying. When he said that even that which was more glorious, that was made glorious in the Old Testament, he said, compared to the New Testament, had no glory at all. He said, what you read in the Old Testament about manifestations of God's glory, they're nothing compared to what you're going to see. That's what verse 10 is saying. Can you see that in there? Can you make it with me here for a few more minutes tonight? Amen? Verse 10 again, even that which was made glorious had, that's the Old Testament, had no glory in this respect, or when compared to the glory that excelleth in the New Testament. For if that which is done away with was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. See, the Old Testament's defunct and done away with. But Paul said it was a glorious thing, but nothing like the glory of this covenant. Amen? If the thing was so hot, why'd God dump it? If it's so hot, let's go back and live under it. But it's not. It's nowhere near as the glory. Nowhere near as glorious as the new covenant and the promises of provision and protection that God's made for us in the new covenant. Well, hallelujah, let's stand up. And it's just nothing compared to what we're going to see. Amen? And I'm just going to keep on preaching it. I'm just going to keep on preaching it. And I'm just going to keep on teaching it. And I'm just going to keep on expecting it. I'm just going to keep on releasing faith for it. I'm going to keep on believing God that this church is going to be right in the middle of what he's about to do in this earth. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. He's able. He's willing to perform mass miracles today wherever people have faith and wherever people dare to believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And I say that everyone in this room, everyone listening to the sound of my voice, no matter where you might be or how many of you there might be, if you're believing, his word is working on your behalf right now. Did you hear that? If you're believing, his word is working on your behalf right now. The Old Testament was for another time, it was for another place, and it was for another people. The time was then. The place was Palestine. The people were the Jews. But the new covenant is for this people, you people, this place, and this time. Now. Right now. Amen. Hallelujah. God raised us up, trained us for the past 25 years to come down here and start this work. And he's got a plan. He's got a glorious plan, more glorious than anything any of us have imagined, prayed for, hoped, believed, dreamed, or desired. Amen? You just watch it come to pass. It is so! Because I say it is so. Because that's what he's put in my heart. Amen? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? The Bible says in Numbers 23, Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. I'm telling you, you just saw the scriptures with me. Paul said it himself. He said, what they saw in the old covenant, it ain't nothing, baby doll, compared to what you're about to see in this present ministration of the Spirit. Aren't you glad to be alive? I don't care who the president is. Amen? Don't let that bring you down. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants to use you to bring this nation up to a place of glory. So let's continue to release our faith. Amen. Jeremiah 1:12 says, the Lord hastens his word to perform it. God is in a hurry to pour his spirit out upon this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. As I said, we're not trying to wake up a lazy God. God's trying to wake up a lazy people. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not trying to talk him into something he doesn't want to do. We're putting our faith on something he promised will happen if only we will believe. Amen. Can you tell I'm fired up? 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. Now the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is in here right now to perform mass miracles on your behalf if you can believe. I'm going to pray a prayer over you in this room, in this sanctuary, and over those who are listening to the sound of my voice by recording. And if you can believe, God will perform mass miracles on your behalf. On behalf of this church, on behalf of this community. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask you to pour out your glory on a mass scale on Cape Cod. Pour out your glory, Father, on a mass scale on the gathering at Cape Cod, Father. And all the individuals who make up this local church, the lively stones that make up this local body. Father, I decree the miraculous to happen in the lives of their children. I decree your suddenlies, God, to begin to occur in their lives in Jesus' name, Father. Satan, we rebuke you. We command the blinders to come off their family members in Jesus' name. Never again will you blind their eyes to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you by the authority vested in me, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority vested in me through the Word of God, and I command you, loose these families, loose their children's children, and their children's children, however far off. According to Acts 2:38 and 2:39, Father, you said the promises to these precious people and to their children and to their children's children, no matter how far off. That's a quote from your word, Father. That's your word, not my word, Father. We're holding you to your word, God. Miracles in our bodies. Miracles in our finances in Jesus' name. If you're on a fixed income, quit believing it's fixed, says the Spirit of God, because He wants to refix it in the name of Jesus. Quit looking after the natural and begin to expect the supernatural to come from unexpected sources. If you're a tithe payer and an offering giver, you are not on a fixed income. You are subject to a higher economy. Amen. Mass miracles in their finances. Mass miracles in their bodies, Father. Mass miracles in the workplace, Father. Lord, some people need new employment, Father, where they get what they're worth in Jesus' name, Father, and where they're treated with dignity. Father, let it happen in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm decreeing mass miracles over this congregation. Mass miracles over Cape Cod. Not just in this church, God, but in every church that's preaching the gospel, Father. Pour out your Spirit. Have mercy on those who don't know to ask for the glory. We're asking for them, Father. Respectfully, Father, in Jesus' name, let there be mass miracles occur. Let there be mass miracles occur on Cape Cod, in Massachusetts, in the United States of America, and in the nations of the world, God. We're putting our faith on mass miracles, Father. You said it would be greater than what they saw in the old, and we believe. It's your word, God. It's not my word. It's your word. Lift your hands and thank Him for the promise of His word. You're here on purpose tonight. You're here on purpose. Lord, pour out your fire. Your holy fire, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let the miracles cause the people to come running, Father, in the name of Jesus. We'll never stop believing. We'll never stop believing your word. We'll never stop expecting your word to be fulfilled, Father. We'll never stop preaching and teaching and decreeing and praying your word, Father. Lord, you have to do it. You bound yourself to your word, Father. Lord, you bound yourself to your word, and we believe your word. It's forever settled in heaven, God. James promised it, Father, that you're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Lord, it's going to take miracles, just like we studied in the book of Acts the past 2 or 3 weeks on Sunday, Father. Miracles in the ministry of Peter, and whole cities came to Jesus. Miracles in the ministry of Paul, whole cities came to Jesus. Father, stretch forth your hand to heal in the name of your holy child Jesus, and send them from the north and the south, the east and the west. And God, forgive us for not putting our faith on the lost people of the world, Father. Forgive us, God, for getting caught up and distracted with our own loved ones, God, and using our faith, God. We didn't do it on purpose, Father. You know our hearts. You know we love you, but there's a tendency, Lord, to just put your faith on your own family and forget everything and everyone else. Father, we confess that to you tonight. I'm guilty myself, God. I've done it from time to time, and I've had to shake myself like Samson and say, John, put your faith on the world and God will save your family. We put our faith on the world. We put our faith for this world, God, to go in to revival in the name of the Lord Jesus. We'll walk around decreeing it. We'll drive around thanking you for it, Father. Oh, we lift our hands and we thank you for it now, God, as we release our faith, God, for you to pour out your Spirit unlike any other time in all of human history, Father. We make a decision as a conscious act of our own free will right now. We're making up our minds to make up our minds. We're going to be a part of it. We're going to keep praying for it. We're going to keep decreeing it. We're going to keep believing it. We're going to keep expecting it, Father. In Jesus' name. Say, mass miracles.
Mass miracles.
Count me in.
Count me in.
In Jesus' strong name.
In Jesus' strong.
Hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I hope you're as fired up as I am tonight. Amen. Because God wants to do it. God wants to do it. We're not trying to talk him into something he doesn't want to do. We're reminding him as he's instructed us to of what he's promised in the word. He said, command concerning the work of my hands, the power of my hands. Oh, command ye me. Tell me where you want me to direct my power. I'll do it if only you will believe. John Wesley, the great 18th century evangelist, he said, it seems that God can do nothing in this earth unless someone pray. Well, we prayed here tonight, didn't we? And we expect God to answer our prayer, don't we?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said in Jeremiah 1:12, I'm in a hurry to perform my word. Will you get in a hurry and pray my word? Hallelujah. God, we're in a hurry to see you pour out your Spirit. And Father, it's not all about the show with us. We're not looking to be entertained, God. We love you, Father. We're created in your image. You're a powerful God. We're your children. It's just natural that we'd seek your power. It's only natural that we'd be power seekers, Father. We're seeking your power. But not just for ourselves and our families, God. Not just for our own little deals, as important as they are to us, God. But for the nations of the world, Father. You said in Psalm 2:8, ask and I'll give you the heathen as your inheritance. Father, we're asking you here tonight, give us the heathen, Father. The heathen on Cape Cod, Father. The heathen in Massachusetts. The heathen in the United States of America. In the nations of the world, Father. We're asking, God. We're asking for their souls. We're commanding the blinders to come off their eyes. And we're believing the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers unto the harvest so they can have the opportunity to hear. In Jesus' name. So they can see the word of God in demonstration through signs and wonders and miracles and make the decision that Jesus really is the only way to God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Hey, I'm stirred up in my spirit. I'm stirred up in my spirit. I'm stirred up in my spirit. We've been teaching and we've been preaching in this direction for almost 9 months by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And the Holy Spirit never leads down dead ends. Amen. He never leads you down a dead end. Amen. We've been praying this out by the Holy Ghost for all the time that we've been here. And when the Holy Ghost does the praying, those prayers never go unanswered. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. Keep your faith on it. Keep your expectation high. Jack your hopes up as high as they'll go. And keep them up there in Jesus' name. Because it's about to happen.
Amen.
And you heard it here first. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.